Is the Sabbath a test or a gift? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, Professor Emeritus in the Walla Walla University School of Theology. I am your host and study guide author. We continue our series on rest in Christ. My conversation partners are Dave Thomas, Professor in the Walla Walla University School of Theology, and Phil Mothersbaugh, retired pastor and an adjunct professor in the School of Theology. So I want to come back, and I'll admit here that I'm departing from the general outline of the official quarterly. It's not a study guide. It's not suggested. But it is a crucial opportunity for us at a time when many traditional Adventists are reacting against their heritage. In our early years, Adventists were gripped by the Sabbath-Sunday conflict, an issue that was thrown into bold relief by events in the last decades of the 19th century. That issue has virtually vanished from our culture in general, but still lurks in traditional Adventist blood. So in conjunction with our leading question, we should ask two additional questions. Where in Scripture is the idea suggested that the Sabbath is a test? Second question, where in Scripture could one find support for the idea that the Sabbath is more a gift than a test? So let's take that first question. Where in Scripture is the idea suggested that the Sabbath is a test?
Well, I think one place is the words of Jesus, that if you love me, keep my commandments. And so in a broad sense, and I know, I don't know if that's an imperative or an indicative, I haven't looked, but the fact is that it could be a statement that you should do this as evidence of your loyalty to Christ, or it might be a consequential statement saying that if you are loyal to Christ, those things sure materialize in your life.
But that has to do with the commandments as a whole. I'm talking specifically.
Yeah, but among them is the Sabbath.
Yeah, but Adventists have been very specific and said the Sabbath is a test.
Well, I think one of the places that this rings in my ear, and I'm glad that you decided to do some modification with this lesson, Alden, is in traditional evangelistic circles, we as Adventists have tended to use the three angels' message in Revelation 14 in referring to the Sabbath as a test, based on what you said in your introduction about Sunday worship, and in relationship to that, receiving the mark of the beast. This creates a whole nother discussion surrounding, you know, what the Sabbath was designed for.
And then you have the match up here between the mark of the beast, which comes at a particular point,
mm-hmm.
and then the seal of God, the Sabbath, which is, the Sabbath is a seal, and it's a mark of the covenant. But that, I think, is where the test has come from.
And sometimes that's where our understanding of the Sabbath stops.
Yep.
It feels more like a test than a gift.
Yep. And my guess is that if you've only experienced the Sabbath as a test, you'll never be able to appreciate it as a gift. If, for example, my wife tells me that I need to be home by 9 o'clock or else.
Sounds like a test to me.
It sounds like a test to you. And I'm enough of a rebel that I say, well, I'll be home by 10. Thank you very much. But she knows that she doesn't do that, you see. So I think that a number of people who are escaping from the Sabbath is that they've never learned to enjoy the Sabbath as a gift. But then the other question is here, and I'd be interested in what you would say. Where do we find the Sabbath presented as a gift?
The one place that I jump in immediately is when I think of the Israelites after 400 years plus of slavery in Egypt. When they leave, the only surviving Israelites have only known slavery their entire lives. They've never been exposed to freedom. And so consequently, the Sabbath is a reminder more than a test when God presents it through Moses saying, hey, remember the Sabbath. I have a feeling that the people of God had to try to remember at that point what the Sabbath was really all about.
Now, but there's a verse going around in my head that I cannot pinpoint, and I gave them also my Sabbaths. Isn't there a verse that says something like that? Or am I reading from the Apocrypha here?
Well, we'll come to some because those passages that talk about the Sabbath, but also so that you're slaves and your animals may rest as well as you.
Yeah.
So it becomes very intriguing, and what I'd like to do in the rest of this lesson here as we come through it is to look at ways in which we can enhance our understanding of the Sabbath and see it in a world where there is, because sacred time is not an issue in our culture.
No, it's disappeared. Sacred everything has disappeared.
It's vanished.
Yeah.
But the problem of time management hasn't gone away, and so we're struggling with that.
Interestingly enough, from a biblical point of view, I mean from a cultural point of view, some of the best writing that's being done on Sabbath today is by people who wish they had a Sabbath. And you'll find a number of evangelicals, they don't worship on Sabbath. That's not their worship day. But they keep it as a rest day.
They're starting to fall in love with the concept of what rest really means spiritually.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, see, I like to say that Sabbath is a day and an experience, and you can't separate them. If you try and make it just one or the other, you destroy it.
And if you simply argue over which day, it's...
Or even an insistence upon how to keep the Sabbath, which many people have struggled with over the years, as they've seen Sabbath as nothing but a checklist of rules.
Sure.
And mostly negative ones.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it does interest me that most of the Christian world does not revere a whole day. They keep aside an hour or two for services, but they don't treat the day as a day of away from the business of living.
And I think that if we recognize that the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath, is the day that God has blessed, and it's very difficult to bless a day which God has not blessed. I mean, I think of Kenneth Peterson. I've got an article in my files here, The Confessions of a Former Sabbath Breaker. Now, he didn't keep the seventh-day Sabbath. He kept Monday.
Are you referring to Eugene Peterson?
Yeah.
Yes,
Eugene,
okay.
Peterson, yeah. He would get Monday. And Marva Don, I think, kept Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
The problem is that if you start going to different days, the kind of a communal Sabbath get-together, which you have on the particular day that God's blessed, it's almost impossible to do that if everybody's picking their own day. See?
And then a typical Adventist pastor is conflicted because the hardest day of work for him is Sabbath. And so he's almost forced to look at Sunday or Monday or some day that he can really rest and sit down and come apart, as Jesus
said.
But
I also found out that Sabbath was a very happy day in spite of the workload.
Yep. Well, the other thing that is very interesting, John Brunt told me this several years ago, and I don't think it's changed. He says his university students are thinking very positively of the Sabbath because that's the one day when everyone gets together as a family.
A sense of community.
Sense of community, sure, yeah. Now, I want to have several suggestions here as to how we can make the Sabbath a creative option that's not just for personal benefit, but a larger one. And my first item on the list is the environment. In Genesis 2, 5, and 15, our modern translations use the word till, to till the earth. That's based on the Hebrew word of to serve. So it's actually saying there that human beings were made to serve the earth, and that ties in then very much with the give them dominion at the end of Genesis 1. That's an important aspect as well. Then God said, this is now Genesis 1, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all wild animals and over every creeping thing. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. And he says, be fruitful and multiply. So I think that that idea of environmental, the Sabbath reminds us that that's an important one that we could develop.
Yeah, it has a good ecological purpose. Let the earth rest.
Absolutely. And then a second one is worker protection. And this goes back to an article I read a number of years ago in Themelios. It's an evangelical journal no longer published. Chris Wright wrote an editorial with the title Deuteronomic Depression. And it was in fulfilling the assignment of writing a commentary on Deuteronomy, he came to some startling conclusions. He opens with this line, quotes, Bible should carry a government health warning. Bible study can seriously damage your peace of mind. A few paragraphs later, he fills out the picture with these words. A major dimension of Deuteronomy's economic and social concern is related to the world of work. Its fourth commandment is the only commandment to have a specific purpose, as distinct from a motivation attached, which is so that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as you do. It was, as Harold Macmillan is reputed to have said, the first and greatest worker protection act in history. So that idea of worker protection, I think, is a crucial one. And then the last one, Exodus 23:12, where you add the care for the animals. And I think this is the way it says, 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest so that your ox and your donkey may have relief and your home-born slave and the resident alien may be refreshed.
Yeah, and that makes me think about the ending of the book of Jonah, where God has concern for the people of Nineveh and the what's the phrase that's used there? It pertains to the animals.
Yeah, it pertains to the animals.
Yeah.
Now, these three ideas alone offer modern Adventists rich opportunities for making the Sabbath relevant in our day, not just as a personal spiritual blessing, but as a substantive blessing to the earth, to oppressed people, and to weary animals. Official Study Guide is a good resource for exploring the personal spiritual blessings provided by the Sabbath. But we can broaden our horizons and breathe more deeply. There are wonderful opportunities before us. The Sabbath is truly a gift, not only for spiritual growth and development, but also for service to our world and its creatures. Now, am I going too far out on a limb? Do you think we can sell that as far as the Adventist community is concerned?
I think it's a both and. The Sabbath command is a both and. It's a matter of caring for the creation as the Creator has cared for His creation.
But I think a lot of the caring for all of this is to let it rest. Not to be digging it up, not to be chasing the animals, to let them rest.
Well, when you see this, the emphasis on dominion, the obvious implication is that somehow man is in control of the earth. But man doesn't always bless or give the earth rest when he tries to manage it, when he tries to overmanage it.
My thanks to conversation partners Dave Thomas and Phil Mothersbaugh, to our technical support staff, Kristen Byerly and Rick Baskett, and to all of you for listening in for the good word. I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.